This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. When the Eiffel Tower was built in 1889, it was not beloved of Parisians. It was originally planned for Barcelona, but the people of that city of Gaudi and other wild architecture turned down the tower as too strange. Writer Guy de Maupassant so hated the tower that he insisted on eating in the restaurant in the top, since it was the only place in Paris, he said, where he didn't have to look at it. Times have changed, of course, and the legendary Eiffel Tower has, in a sense, joined the band. Its metal creaks, bangs, and hums are being featured in a new public arts project called Tower Music. Joseph Bertolozzi has already put the sounds of bridges to music. The composer and musician is sampling the tower's actual sounds for a composition to be finished by the 125th anniversary of the Eiffel Tower in 2014.
It was built as a structure. It's not calibrated as an instrument. You know, so when we find sounds, it's almost a miracle that they have any kind of musical tone to them. And then they don't have like a pure tone. There'll be other three or four notes sounding at once. So, you know, the art comes in turning that into music.
All right. I'm going to play a short clip from your Eiffel Tower sound composition. And maybe you can tell me which of these is the tower and which of these is some stuff that you added.
Okay, well, that was all played live, actually, right there.
No kidding.
Yeah, I was standing next to one of the fences. We were on the first level of the second floor, and the bass drum kind of sounds, there's like a big metal panel instead of big spindles, and I was hitting that with a soft, like, bass drum mallet. And they also have a fence overhead so that you don't, you know, jump over. And the scrapes you heard were me dragging a different type of a stick, like a drumstick, across the fence, and the little ticks were like part of the frame that held the fence in place.
And as an instrument, what was your mission? To show that, you know, you could bang something and make noise? I mean, that seems sort of obvious. So there seems to be a communal quality to this.
Yeah, yeah, right? You know, I mean, I just thought it was a cool idea, plain and simple. And, you know, when I first got the idea, I was to play the Eiffel Tower, but there was so many obstacles to get there. I don't speak French. I didn't have any contacts in Paris. So I decided maybe I could do something in New York. And knowing that Gustav Eiffel was a bridge builder, I kind of turned my eyes to the bridges over the Hudson and did the Mid-Hudson Bridge up
in— A gorgeous bridge in Poughkeepsie.
Yeah.
It's great. And here's a clip from the composition Meltdown, which was kind of your proof of concept on this, right?
This is from the album Bridge Music, yeah.
All right. You know, I'm thinking that's almost all bridge there, right?
It is all bridge. There are no— – I didn't even like boost treble or bass with those sounds. You're hearing the raw samples assembled into a composition.
And how did you collect them?
We put contact microphones on the surfaces, and I would hit that surface like three or four or five times hard, then four or five times medium, and then four or five times soft. And we did that with all the surfaces that we recorded. And then I went back to the studio, and that took me a couple of months to sift through those and pick not only the best sounding ones, but the most representative ones. We whittled down like maybe 1,200 samples down to about 300 and used those sounds to compose bridge music.
Sampling technology really enables something like this, that if you were to do it with, you know, magnetic tape or traditional recording technology, it would be much, much harder, I would think.
Yeah, well, it's more the function of the microphones. The microphones, as contact microphones, they adhere to the surface that you're trying to play, and it picks up the vibrations of that surface, as opposed to, you know, on the bridge, seagulls or, you know, truck beeping its horn as it drives by. And it isolates the sound and also gives it a little bit more clean sound, because if the wind is blowing, it'll pick that up too.
Yeah, you really want the bridge as an abstract object, not
right,
as something, you know, over a nice picturesque river.
Exactly. You,
yeah,
you got it right.
Yeah. So do you have to go there at 5 in the morning to do this? I mean, do you...
No. You know, I was very clear with the Bridge Authority and with the Eiffel Tower administration that I would work on their schedule.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had to be there with some other laborers. And, you know, at first they all thought I was crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and then at the end, when I was done a few years later, everybody wanted to be in the picture as we were cutting the ribbon, you know.
Oh, that's so nice. Now, in France, they might think you're crazy, but they'd never say that.
Actually, the president of the Eiffel Tower,
right.
They have a CEO and a president. The president came out to meet me while I was there and, you know, he said, I think you're crazy. So, but he shook my hand but, you know, they're letting me pursue it, which is great. And, you know, I've been called worse than crazy.
Joe, thanks so much.
It was great to be here.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.